Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe.
Drop it, bitch!
And holy shit, we start the show off with 100 biddies thanks to Stagorilla. Stag, thank you so much for hanging out, keeping us company. And I say us because Jacob's here and Aki's here. How are you two doing?
Well.
Yeah, you sound really fucking into it tonight. How you doing, Jacob? Tell us how you're doing.
I had surgery yesterday, specifically a vasectomy. So, sorry, all you ladies out there. No more kids.
Thank God I don't have to take the pill anymore.
It's all right. As soon as I talk, I know Aki's vagina makes the windows shut down noise.
You are 100% right.
Oh my lord! So how was your break? We've been off for just about a month. What'd the two of you do over break?
Played review games.
Yeah, I actually I kept playing The Gunk. I'm like 2/3 of the way through it now.
What do you think of that one?
I finished that forever ago.
Well, we reviewed it. I really liked it. I'm still really enjoying it. But I have a tendency of, like, I only play it when I'm really baked. And so, like, I'll save, you know, and then when I start back up, I'm like, I don't know where the fuck I am. And then so I wander around, get to the next part, save, and then start up the next day, and I'm like, I don't know where the fuck I am.
Well, good thing the game isn't that, like, open. It's
kinda... Oh my god, if this was an open world game, I'd be in so much trouble.
Yeah.
But yeah,
so
it's
you
good.
Should not so you play Assassin's Creed Valhalla while high.
Yeah.
That game would probably overwhelm you.
Yeah.
Drop it, bitch!
Another 100 biddies from Stag. Thank you so much, Stagorilla. Love having you in chat. Love having you drop by and keep us company. I don't get to your streams enough. That needs to change in this new year. I need to, like... Most of my 2021, I would spend watching Rock Band streams, and I really need to venture out.
Yeah.
Great conversation.
Dude, I don't use Twitch. I don't know. I barely ever watch anyone ever play anything, because it's just like, either I should be playing this myself, or it's full of like inane chatter, like now,
yeah.
That like I just don't want to listen to.
Yeah, see, I'm wondering if Stagorilla, do you still do the streams where you make models, or have you stopped that?
Like, what kind of models?
Occasionally, he'd make I think he did a robot once, a Batmobile, I believe, once, all out of wood.
Wait, ooh. A robot Batmobile or a robot comma? Batmobile, comma.
But yeah, the commas.
That's not a yes or no question, Aki.
That's why I said yeah, the commas.
Oh, okay.
You have to let me get the rest of my sentence out.
God damn it.
Oh my god. So yeah, I was at MAGFest since nobody's asking me.
Everyone knew where you were.
You've only been announcing that for like 3 or 4 podcasts before we quit.
I'm actually kind of let down. It was supposed to be recorded and used as an episode, the panel, but because of some last minute cancellations due to COVID, weather, and mag drama, we couldn't get a recording of the panel. So it was just me and Ian bullshitting with our friend Matt Zerum, and we pulled our buddy Hat up on stage as well to chat with us, and just an hour of stories about MAGFest, and it seemed to go pretty well. As of now, it is not on the list of panels that had somebody with COVID. So
that's good.
So yay. I have tested clean myself.
I was going to say, you took two tests. I saw.
Yeah, I took my tests. I turned up clean. So I've been making out with everyone today. It has been fun. Cats are looking at me weird.
As expected, you shouldn't be making out with them.
Hey, you don't know me.
Wait, you're making out with
cats? That's the problem.
So there was a lot of news while we were gone.
Joe makes out with cats. That's news.
No, it's not.
That explains why there's like 12 of them in his house.
13.
Exactly. Slut.
Coltrane is my baby. And she's sleeping. So a lot of news. We should probably get to news. Jacob, I don't want to keep you too long. sorry, I'm just busting your balls about this.
I was going to say, that was an appropriate balls joke right there.
Yeah.
The one about keeping you too long, that wasn't a good one.
That was the setup for...
It wasn't.
And, yeah.
It was a terrible setup.
You're nuts.
I mean, it's Joe, so...
Bye-bye. Game Pass, a lot of shit came to Game Pass while we were away. Let's see, January 4th, we got Goragoa, a cool little puzzle game. Olesia and the Pedestrian, which was a launch straight to Game Pass.
I really need to get to the Pedestrian. That game looks so cool.
It is trippy. It's kind of brain-breaky.
For you.
What kind of game is it?
It's a puzzle game.
It's a puzzle game where you have to move street signs around and kind of treat them like portals, where you go in one and come out the other and attach them and solve the levels. It's really, really different.
I was going to say, it sounds like something you have to see.
Yeah.
As opposed to somebody describing it.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll check it out then.
Yeah, it's on Game Pass. Might as well. You know what else is on Game Pass?
My dick.
No, it's not. Mass Effect Legendary Edition made it to Game Pass through EA Play.
So my dick. There we go.
At some point, I will have both the room and the like 100 plus hours that I need to actually start and finish that game.
Wait, the good thing is you only need like 20 some gig to start the download.
Wait, did you never play them before?
Oh no, I've 100%ed all the originals. I just want to 100% that one as well.
Okay. All right.
I really like Mass Effect.
Well, I mean, I do too. I mean, that's why I was like miffed. Like, I was just like, because I wasn't sure if you had ever played the originals. So, okay.
I'm sad that the Pinnacle Station DLC hasn't been added. I actually liked it.
Pinnacle Station was an absolute fucking waste of $5, even back in 2008.
It gave you access to the level 10 gear.
Yeah, and also if you were too high leveled up, it was absolutely useless, and you got stuck in the dumb, stupid simulation that you actually had to kill yourself just so you could get out.
Oh, I did not.
Like, it was a never-ending sim, and it wouldn't let you out. And so I eventually had to just throw grenades at a wall and then wait for them to explode so I could kill myself, because none of the enemies could actually kill me.
Wow.
This is true. I remember I had to do that too.
Yeah, fuck Pinnacle Station. That was some of the dumbest $5 I've ever spent on Xbox.
I really liked having the level 10 gear though, because with it you could make the Avenger to where you could literally just hold down on the fire button and it would never overheat, ever.
That
became my go-to for New Game Plus, was a Colossus level 10 armor, and that weapon with all the stuff I needed to make it really strong and forever firing, and I loved it. Such a cheap bullshit move. It was the best.
Are you done talking about Mass Effect now?
I mean, if you...
Oh, really, I don't know. I mean, I feel like hockey, and I can probably talk more about Mass Effect.
I know you could, more games hit Game Pass because Ember in the Outer Wilds also joined Game Pass. Same day as Mass Effect. Ember's a cool
one. Outer Wilds been on there a number of times?
It was. It's back. So, welcome back, the Outer Wilds.
Is the DLC included with it? Because I know a DLC came out for it.
No, you got to buy that.
Oh, that's a shame.
No, it's not. Support the devs. You get the game for free on Game Pass. Buy the DLC.
Mm. I guess it's true.
Yeah, you're goddamn right. It's true. This week, we got two more games on Game Pass with the Anacrusis launching to Game Pass Preview. And then Spelunky 2 launched on Xbox right to Game Pass.
Cool.
I'm excited about Spelunky 2.
I am very not.
Yeah, I mean, neither of those games were like, I don't know, standouts to me. I'm more excited about what's coming later this month.
Oh, you mean on the 20th when we get Paparazzi?
Yes. I'm so unreasonably excited about that game. I didn't even know it was coming to Xbox. I'd forgotten about it. And then I saw the announcement and I was just like, aw, shit. And I had to show it to my wife. And she's just like, yes, this is your type of game.
The 20th is a pretty huge day for Game Pass overall, too.
Is Paparazzi just a game where you take pictures of dogs?
Yeah, it's like Pokemon Snap with dogs.
I already love this game.
Exactly.
But yeah, Paparazzi on the 20th, coming right to Game Pass, launching alongside Rainbow Six Extraction is launching to Game Pass.
Wait, are we talking about the Ubisoft stuff later, or...
I mean, that's part of what's going on.
I didn't know if like that was going to be like a separate news story.
It doesn't matter. It could be.
Oh. Did Ubisoft do something else wrong?
No, they're actually doing some good stuff. In addition to Rainbow Six Extraction launching on Game Pass, Ubisoft Plus will be coming to Xbox in the future. There aren't any details on how much it's going to be, or if it's going to be included in Game Pass, or if we're going to see another tier.
No, they said it won't be included with Game Pass. It will be a separate subscription.
Nah. So we'll see how much that is and if it's worth it. But another game is launching straight to Game Pass on the 20th. Hitman Trilogy is launching, and it includes all three games from the World of Assassination trilogy, releasing on the 20th on all platforms, and it will be on Game Pass.
Interesting. I wonder if it has its own achievement list, or if it's just all three of those. Each game has the achievement list of the prior standalone.
I'm not too sure if it's a new achievement list or not. Either way, that's a lot of content in one package.
Yeah, that is a fuck ton of stuff.
Yeah, it's not all good news, though. There are some games leaving Game Pass on the 15th. They are disappearing, so by the time you hear this, they're basically gone. Desperados 3, Ghost of a Tale on PC, Kingdom Hearts 3, Mountain Blade Warband, PUBG because it went free-to-play, The Little Acre, Y2K, a postmodern RPG on PC, and then this last one, Jacob, I know you were, you mentioned this one to me. Pandemic the Board Game is not only leaving Game Pass, it is also very likely getting delisted from Xbox completely.
Game Pass. Oh, wait. Yeah, that's right, because that's how you get the discount.
Yeah.
It has already been delisted from Steam, Apple, and Google storefronts. It is leaving Microsoft on January 31st. And it is leaving Nintendo Switch at the end of July for reasons that Asmodee has not and will not say.
There you go. So if you want to play it, grab it while you can. You get that sweet 20% discount with Game Pass. I fucking bought it. I figured it's if I ever want to play it.
I bought it, and also there is one thing of paid DLC for it that's like $3.
Yeah. So, and then two free ones.
Yes. Yeah, so it's all together, it's like $20 if you have Game Pass.
Yeah. Thimber, also, I make honorable mentions to Nobody Saves the World and Windjammers 2 coming soon. I honestly expected that we would have gotten the news blast of all the new games hitting Game Pass for the second half of the month, but I'm guessing we're going to be talking about them next week. But yeah, Windjammers 2 is going to be launching direct to Game Pass. I don't know if that's the 20th or 22nd or 29th, or I don't know what it is. And then Nobody Saves the World from Drinkbox.
What kind of game is that? I've never heard of that one.
I don't remember, but it's from Drinkbox.
That doesn't mean anything to me.
Guacamelee.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so I'm excited to find out more about that one and hopefully give it a go. It looks quite interesting. But Yeah, a little bit more bad news when it comes to Game Pass. Stalker 2 was delayed from April 28th all the way to December 8th.
That's a shame. I was really looking forward to seeing people cry. But now it'll be a Christmas. Yeah, now it's just going to be a Christmas gift to myself.
All right, so the tears of other people obviously are a gift for you. But wait, I don't know. It might be the drugs. Okay.
Are you wondering why people are going to cry? Is that what you're trying to get at very poorly?
Yeah, I don't follow.
The Stalker series is insanely difficult, and I'm sure everyone's going to go into that thinking, oh, it's going to be like Metro, and fucked.
Gotcha. Okay. I don't know. I find it real interesting how it seems like Game Pass, like with its day one releases, is really starting to become like a winter thing, it seems like, with like the big titles. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's that? Hitman and Rainbow Six are launching direct to Game Pass, right?
But the Rainbow Six thing, I mean, like, I don't know. How big is, like, actually the audience for that?
Big enough that they made Rainbow Six Extraction.
Yeah, hasn't that been out on the PC for a while, too, as well?
And I was going to say, in Hitman Trilogy, I mean, that's just... Is that actually new, or is that just something coming?
The three Hitman games all together.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah,
just a hater.
I think the point is that's more of a bundle of three things that already exist rather than its own thing, I think is what he's trying to get at.
I mean, it's like saying, like, ooh, you should get excited that Mass Effect is coming to Game Pass. I mean, like, yeah, don't get me wrong, that is cool, but it's not like it's a day one, this is the day it's getting released kind of thing. And it's already three games that technically we already had. I mean, you had to play the Xbox 360 versions, but I don't know.
Well, Splunky's cool. The Anna Carusis is cool. Paparazzi is cool.
All right, you're just trying to get dogs to sway me.
Paparazzi. How about games with gold? Will that cheer you up?
Maybe, if they're good.
Much like these dogs, I've also been deballed. No wonder I have such kinship with them.
Oh, Jesus. Okay, so games with gold for January. On Xbox One, we're getting Neurovoider and Aground.
Neither which I own, so I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I don't even know what those are.
Well, they're games, so you're getting them.
That are free.
Yeah. And then the retro games, we are getting Radiant Silver Gun, which is pretty awesome, and Space Invaders Infinity Gene.
Hell yeah.
Wow, I haven't heard of any of these. Interesting.
Brand new. I knew of Radiant Silver Gun because that's just a shoot 'em up.
Thank you for my excitement already.
What the hell are you doing with the mic, Aki? All I hear is you liking.
I probably moved my head. Sorry.
PlayStation Plus for January. Pretty good month for them. PS4, they got Persona 5 Strikers, and then on both PS4 and PS5, they got Deep Rock Galactic, which launched direct to PS Plus on PlayStation, and Dirt 5.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. A good lineup for everyone all around. More Sony news. The rumored Twisted Metal reboot is apparently no longer in development at Lucid, the team that made Destruction All-Stars. It seems that Sony's recent acquisition, FireSprite, a team made up of former Sony Liverpool members, is on the job now.
So what's the other team doing, or are they just getting shut down?
Who knows? After Destruction All-Stars didn't do well, it might be lights out for Lucid.
That sucks.
Apparently the project lead at Lucid, or someone in charge at Lucid, jumped over to FireSprite to continue working on Twisted Metal, so maybe some people from Lucid will make the jump over. I find it hilarious that Sony Liverpool was dissolved and they released everybody, so they formed a new studio just to get acquired by Sony.
Yeah, you think they would have been like, no, we know what you're going to do to us.
I don't get the logic behind that move, but whatever, Fire Sprite, whatever works for you. Hopefully Twisted Metal turns out awesome, because I used to love those games.
Hopefully.
Microsoft has fully discontinued the Xbox One. So the Series is the only way to go from now on, whether a Series S or Series X, preferably the Series X. We all got them now. Yay.
Woo. Oh yeah. That's something else that should have got brought up during the, like, what did you do over break? Yeah, I got an Xbox Series X.
What do you think of it?
I don't know. Like, it feels like a much faster Xbox One.
That's exactly what it is.
Well, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I think I was expecting more, like, I was expecting to be wowed from it more, and currently my biggest issue is that it plays Hot Wheels Unleashed so quickly that, I mean, on the plus side, like, the level load times are great. However, now getting a perfect start, because I'm still playing on the Xbox One version, because I haven't upgraded to the Xbox Series X version yet, the Xbox One version, because the system runs it so fast, it's now, like, you're just luck. It's just pure luck if you can get the perfect starts. So, I've done it like 4 times in about 100 races.
Well, time to upgrade.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing the next sale.
Aki, did you get to dick around with your Series at all before you left?
Nope, I got it literally like the very night before it. I got to look at it for like an hour before I had to go to bed, and that was it. I didn't even get to plug it in or fucking anything. I am so goddamn jealous.
So when do you go home to be able to finally play it?
In late February. Oh, or early, man. March. It's, yeah, I am so sad. I just want to play it so bad right now.
I was informed Tim Agabus also got a Series X.
Damn it.
Yeah, so
everyone's getting Xbox Series X's. This is gonna fuck me over.
No, it's not. Quit whining. Stop whining. Acquisitions. There were a lot of acquisitions that went down while we were away. Embracer Group picked up Perfect World Entertainment, Dark Horse, and a few others. Jacob, I know you were quite interested by the Dark Horse news.
Yeah, because now it's just like, I mean, they own Hellboy, and I mean, Dark Horse is the ones responsible for a lot of collectible stuff out there. Like, they also dabble with comics. I mean, as I said, they do Hellboy. They did Star Wars for a number of years. They do Mass Effect. I forget what other sci-fi. They used to do Alien and Predator before Marvel took them over after the Disney acquisition. But it's just, it's going to be real interesting to see what all happens with that. Like, if it means that we're now going to get like a Hellboy game, or even like a Mask game, like the the comic book in the what?
I would love a Hellboy game. That would be so awesome.
Well, the last one that we got was Hellboy: The Science of Evil back on the 360 from Konami.
I didn't even know there was a Hellboy game. Oh,
yeah, it came out when Golden Army was out. It's like a sidequel. It's like shit that happens in between the first two movies. Well, I mean, there is only 2 movies for that, but
I will have to.
Yeah, I'm real curious as to see where it goes. Like, if this means that we're going to see more movies developed on Dark Horse IPs or video games developed on it, because then it's just you're just putting money from one pocket to another one. So why not?
Yeah. They want to print money. Hellboy is the way to go. Hellboy is awesome.
But yeah, Embracer is on a spree. Who knows who are they going to gobble up next? That's what I want to know.
Didn't somebody buy, or like is about to buy, Asmodee Digital?
I don't know.
I thought we talked about that over break. And of course, I don't have my I don't have a laptop anymore because I'm in between jobs.
Womp womp.
Asmodee Digital purchase.
Just gonna sit here and wait.
Yeah, got nothing.
Ha. Well, you know who did get purchased? Monster Games got purchased by iRacing.com.
No, actually, hold on. It is Embracer. Embracer's looking to buy it. It's valued at $3.1 billion.
Damn.
From what I had read, Asmodee's made a bunch of questionable decisions as of late, which may be the reason why they're up for sale.
And why Pandemic is going away.
Yeah. Anyway, I wonder if they lost the license to that.
Maybe. But anyway, like I was saying, Monster Games, the developers of the NASCAR series and the Tony Stewart series, were purchased by iRacing.com Motorsport Simulations.
Okay. iRacing is, like, when the pandemic first broke out, iRacing is how NASCAR was doing, they tried doing races that way for a little bit. So.
Oh, that's cool.
So that kind of makes sense. That'll be interesting. It might mean that we get much, like, more quality. I mean, I already like, now when you're saying the NASCAR games, are you talking about like the NASCAR Heat games?
Well, I forget what the newest one was called, but apparently the newest NASCAR game was kind of bad.
Okay. So I was going to say, I'm the one that reviewed NASCAR Heat 5. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. I used to enjoy all the NASCAR games. I'm not sure what happened with this year's version or last year's version. Technically, It just seemed like it didn't come together and we didn't get it. So we can't comment on it.
Yeah.
I didn't pick it up.
Well, hopefully it means for better NASCAR games in the future. So
maybe, Team 17 purchased Astragon Entertainment for $114 million. Astragon is known for games like Police Simulator, Bus Simulator, Construction Simulator, Podcast Simulator, and much more.
Okay.
That last one was a joke.
Oh.
Yeah.
Honestly, you could have, like, rattled off a shitload of, like,
I know. Simulator games. That's the sad thing.
Because they produce so many of those simulator games that I just wouldn't have batted an eye if you were, like, I don't know.
It's weird,
like,
to see Team 17 pick them up, though. Like, those simulator games, they have their audience, but I never thought they were technically very good games. They seemed very chintzy. Unless they've changed in recent years, I haven't bought any of the recent ones to check them out. But to see Team 17 get involved with them seems kind of weird. I don't know what's going to happen there.
To me, it makes sense. Those games work a lot better on PC than console, I think. And I think you also have a much bigger audience that's dealing with them, as I said, on PC.
No.
Like, those games also have their... Like, they're not huge here in America, but over in Europe they are. So it's like you're essentially buying a company that has a ready built audience in it. So makes sense. Especially if Team 17 is just going to be like, yeah, just do your thing and we're just going to reap the profits from it.
Well, there was one more big acquisition that happened while we were away. This one kind of shocking. Take-Two acquired Zynga for $12.7 billion.
Thank God. I mean, I can't wait to play the Grand Theft Auto Farmville mashup game. It's going to be so good.
$12.7 billion.
That seems awful.
I mean, they've essentially got the hold on like those kind of like social mobile games, so it makes sense. But it's perhaps Take-Two can provide them. I mean, Take-Two might just be giving them the direction that they need.
Maybe.
Because, I mean, like games like Farmville 3 got released back in November. And it's just, maybe it's just like the company, like, they're making money, but they just don't know how to properly apply it. Maybe Take-Two can give them the guidance that, you know, it just so desperately needs, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Time will tell. But yeah, those were some crazy acquisitions. That was a busy month.
Yep. I think Aki's dead.
Oh, eh, no, just whatever. Spaced out for a good chunk of this. That's all.
So helpful. Final bit of news I have is that already Forza Horizon 5 has crossed 15 million players. Holy
is that
hell.
High?
That's huge.
Huh. Well, congrats to it then.
Yeah. I mean, it's a solid game. I played it a little bit.
And you're not blown away by that on your series?
No.
Really? Playing that, no. You weren't like, holy fuck, the graphics on this?
No, I mean, like, yeah, they were great, but I was like, I don't know.
You suck.
Obviously.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I mean, it looks really awesome. I'm definitely going to be devoting time to it at some point in my life, but I don't know. It so far, nothing is really, like, nothing graphics-wise has really, really wowed me on the Series X yet.
I'll give Flight Sim a shot.
That is something I do need to check out, admittedly.
That's a pretty cool one.
Like, the funny thing is that when I had an Xbox One, I kept being like, ugh, I really wish I could play Flight Sim, and now that I have an Xbox Series X, it is the furthest thing from my mind.
Proud of you. So, reviews, should we get to those?
Yeah, let's. Stupid my balls are hurting.
Your poor balls are hurting. Aki, did you have movie news?
No, I was wondering if he had any more shitty Sonic movie news.
Do you, Jacob? That's
always how he ends this.
No, I don't.
It's a fucking miracle. Okay, let's get to the reviews.
I'm just waiting, like, if you two ever meet, I think Jacob's going to take his removed testicle and just bounce it off your face.
That's very plausible. He is a sick, deranged individual.
So are you.
Well, yeah.
The only question is which one of us enjoys it more.
Yes. Well, we were talking about Forza Horizon 5, so let's shift gears here. First game to talk about tonight is called Gear Club Unlimited 2 Ultimate Edition, developed by Eden Games, published by Microids, released December 14th on Xbox One, Series X and S, PS4, PS5, and PC for $39.99. With the pedal to the metal, race along more than 3,000 kilometers of tracks that await you on the mountainside, through a nature park, in the middle of the desert, or along the coast. Defend your position in more than 250 races with championships, exhibition races, and Grand Prix. Jacob, tell us about your time with Gear Club Unlimited 2 Ultimate Edition.
So Gear Club Unlimited 2, it's essentially a racing game, and it starts off like most modern racers, where it's just like you get introduced to your new team, and you get to pick out which car you want and how you're going to decorate it, and then you go through a bunch of different races, and it's a standard stuff. The unfortunate thing is that Gear Club Unlimited 2, am I saying the name of it right? Yes,
Gear Club Unlimited 2.
It wants to, like, it looks like it's trying to be like a Forza Horizon competitor, and the unfortunate thing is that it's like, I don't know, like, imagine like Forza Horizon being like a Ferrari, and this game is a Geo Metro. And it's just like, it tries hard, like, it looks nice, but like, it has these like molasses slow controls, and it's just like, it never feels like it lives up to any kind of potential with anything. Like, it honestly feels like it was a mobile game that was ported to modern systems. And I don't know
if that's, it was a Switch game.
It was a Switch. Okay.
Yeah. This was originally a Switch exclusive series. Which I always thought the games were pretty solid for Switch games, and now that they've brought it over to Xbox, I can say that it's still a pretty solid game for a Switch game. But that's the unfortunate reality, is that it really still is a Switch game. Like, the cars look great, the reflections look good, some of the environments are touch and go. There was some noticeable pop in here and there.
There was definite clipping, but one of the things I did appreciate is that, like, right off the bat, if you wanted to go decorate your car and go nuts with it, you could. It's right as soon as you select it. It's like, all right, what color do you want? All right, now decorate it as you see fit, and then you could go start racing. And that was pretty fun, because I don't know, it's just it felt slightly more accessible than what Forza does. But it as I said, like, it feels like it's trying to be like Forza Horizon, and it just can't compete on here. And when you were rattling off what systems it was available on, I was just like, oh, they released it on everything but the Switch. That's weird.
Yeah, it's because the original game was on the Switch.
Yeah, so
this
it feels like this should have been released like 5 years ago. And it just it can't really compete against what's out now. It's not the worst racing game I've ever played.
What is?
But it's definitely not the best.
What's the worst you ever played?
Oh God. There's some top down racers that that I've had to play for this one. Like the, I honestly don't even remember the name. What was that wheelie one? Wheelie Racing?
Oh God, I don't remember.
That was possibly the worst one I've had to play. But again, that was a top down, so that's not quite the same. However, I did recently purchase one for the Switch that, and I had posted a review I found for it on the SML Podcast Facebook page. I don't remember what the heck the name of it's like Speedway Racing or something like that. The physics are so messed up that you essentially launch at, like, other racers into the stratosphere if, like, you just tap them. So I'm looking forward to seeing if that will be the worst game ever.
Yeah, thankfully, but Gear Club 2 plays a lot better than that Speedway game. It's a competent racer. It has a lot of content in there. It's just very basic. And when you're on the Xbox and you have Forza Horizon 5 available to play, it's just so hard to recommend this game. On PlayStation, it's a little easier to recommend just because of the lack of options on PlayStation.
I was going to say, like, in that terms, it kind of feels like back when I had to review that Blaze and the Monster Machines game, and Hot Wheels had like come out right around the same time.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get my kids to, like, you know, come on guys, we have to review this game for Mr. Joe. And it was like, it was such a struggle to get them to want to play that when Hot Wheels was right there, like better graphics, better gameplay, better, like, yeah, you know, more variety. Like,
well, like, 40 bucks. I need a verdict on this one.
Oof. 40.
Yeah.
That's steep. That's a get this if it's heavily on sale. I can't justify it for 40.
Yeah, neither can I. If this is something that drops down to like 20 bucks or so, it might be worth a pickup. There is the content there, and again, if you have it on Switch, I think that's the better platform to have it. It stands out more on the Switch, and on Xbox, you can't compete with Forza.
I mean, like, for something on the Switch, like, this seems like this would be like the Switch's version of Forza Horizon, but on Xbox, like, sorry,
it feels like the Switch's version of Forza Horizon. Oh man. All right, well, next game to talk about is called The Guardians of Peace, developed and published by the Toolshed, released January 4th on Xbox One for $29.99. Step into the shoes of Diego, a young aspiring squire training to become a paladin in the Guardians of the Peace Corps amidst a darkling invasion led by the sinister Commander Selfish. Jacob, what is the Guardians of Peace?
So, it is a sci-fi action game that when you're watching it, it feels very reminiscent of like the action-adventure game Advent Rising from like 2005 on Xbox. At least very aesthetically anyway. And so, yeah, you're just playing this young guy and you have to learn how to use all these different powers. And you have all these different people teaching you, and then it's going to eventually lead to something bigger and better. Unfortunately, it's like everything about this game is just either boring, slow, or just broken. The controls feel clunky. The camera, if you even try to turn it, it stutters and like it just shifts constantly, or it's just slow. Like, again, it's slow as molasses. And it's just trying to get anywhere is an absolute pain, which sucks because like they definitely put together like an interesting world that you want to explore. But as soon as you realize that the camera's broken as hell, like, I'm just like, oh my God, I just want to get to the next part and just let's just get this over with. But And then you just get to the voice acting. Hold on, I have to cough. So you get to the voice acting, and then you also realize that this thing, it looks like, just like the last one, it looks like a port of a mobile game. And this one, I think, actually was on iOS at Google. And it's just, I don't know. It just, like, it feels it's, like it has
lacking in, it feels like it's lacking in every aspect. And it's a shame to say.
It feels like a hasty port. Like, they just, like, all right, yeah, it works technically. But then it's just like they didn't really try to make it for the Xbox Series X. I don't know. I wanted to really like this. I really did. Because when I watched the trailer do it, I was just like, yo, this looks dope as hell. Yeah, let's try it out. And then I'm trying it out, and it's like, oh,
yeah, no. I did not have fun playing this one. It's a bad sign when the first achievement in the game is to start the game and it's broken.
Oh.
Yeah, there's an achievement to start the game and no one has it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There is severe pop-in in instances. I took some clips. It's almost impressive how bad the pop-in can be in this game.
It's everywhere.
It's
literally everywhere.
It's like the system is just too powerful for the game, and it's loading things faster than it should. I don't know if that's.
Well, what is this supposed to be, Xbox One or Xbox Series X?
Both.
I'm wondering if, like, I doubt it, but I'm wondering if it actually plays better on the Xbox One.
It's possible.
Unfortunately, mine's not hooked up anymore, so I can't test that theory out.
No. All I can say is that at $30, I cannot help but give this a deny. Oh, it is.
Oh, God. No. Especially at $30. It's just, like, I honestly hope that this is one of those games where the devs are like, shit, we need to go back and fix this. And they do. Because there's a plenty of potential for this to be a cool, like indie game. But no.
Two things that can help this game dramatically. The first one is to let me skip text. Like, instead of having to wait for all the lines to be voiced, let me skip through it. I read faster than your voice actors talk.
Yeah.
And then add an invert camera option. Why the fuck is that not there? I hate having cameras where down is like, let me invert it. I shouldn't have to rely on my controller to have an invert option.
Yeah, but the thing is, this game's made for kids, and they may have done that just to make it easier for kids.
There should be options.
I'm not disagreeing, but I'm just saying, like, the games, we're really not the target audience for this game.
No, but, you know, if it were better, I would probably see it through to the end. But as it stands. Jeez. As it stands, like, I made it through two of the different worlds. The passion world was weird when they talked about, like, tingling in your pelvis. Like, what? Who the fuck is this game for? It was a very weird experience, and I just...
Speaking of tingling in my pelvis.
Yeah.
Ow. Give me a second. Oh, you can keep talking. Just keep talking.
Oh, no. No, no. We're waiting for you to grunt through this.
I'm turning my mic off.
But yeah, $30, I have to give it a deny. It's just, it's not there. The game just isn't worth the price. Hopefully they work on it. Hopefully they address some of the issues and get it looking and playing better. If they do release some patches, we'll be happy to take another look at it. But for now, next game to talk about is Just a Phrase by Paugi, developed and published by Lightwood Games, released December 21st on Xbox One for $7.99. A Hangman-style word game with a twist. One word in every phrase has been replaced by a homophone to make it tougher to deduce. Jacob, tell us about your time with Just a Phrase.
So, this is actually... don't get me wrong, it was challenging, but this was actually the quickest of any of the Paugi games that I've that I've had to play thus far. So pretty much what it is there is a phrase, and it could be like, wait a minute, but instead of it being spelled W-A-I-T, it could be W-E-I-G-H-C. And so you have to figure that out, and you can guess from four letters that are selected at any given time, and you just have to move through them, and it's like a hangman kind of game. Four random letters, which, Joe, I'm hoping that this is still going to be the picture for...
Right, if you're watching this on YouTube, those letters that you see were completely randomized by the game.
I did not pick those out. Like, there's no way for me to, like make the game make that happen. The game did it themselves, and Lightwood was like, wow, we're surprised it took somebody this long to come up with something. But, so there's, I think it's 150 puzzles, but it was honestly one of the quickest completions I've had thus far. It's a fairly simple, still a little challenging. My only real complaint is, first off, I wish Paugi would get some more music, in their games, because I've now played like three or four of their games and they all have the same puzzle music. Not that it's bad, I just would like some variety. And also, when you're playing this on the Xbox Series X, if you do quick resume on it, if for some reason it brings up a black screen and you actually have to quit out of the game and then restart it, it's not a game killer or anything like that, but...
Something that needs to be patched.
Oh, shit, this is bad.
You okay?
But yeah, it's... I got my fucking balls operated on, man. What do you think?
Do you want Aki to do one next? Do you want a break?
Yeah, probably. But I do recommend this game. It's a lot of fun. If you like the other games by Lightwood, I highly recommend it. Side note about Lightwood Games, they actually ship out Christmas cards to their fans and stuff like that if you request them around Christmas time. And of course, it's nothing but a huge, big fuck-off puzzle, and I highly recommend it because it'll definitely give you something to do over that holiday break.
And they're hard as shit, too.
Oh my god, it is so damn hard. Like, I don't know when the hell I'm ever going to finish it, but big thank you to Lightwood for giving me my first holiday card as a video game critic. Yeah, we're going to have Aki do the next one.
All right, well, Just a Phrase is $8. What is your verdict?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
All right, cool. Next game is The Letter, a horror visual novel developed by Yang Yang Mobile and East Asia Soft, published by East Asia Soft, released December 15th on Xbox and Switch for $19.99. When seven people fall prey to a vicious curse, they'll discover that the horror rests not from the shadows lurking about, but within themselves. To what ends will one go in order to survive? Aki, tell us about The Letter, a horror visual novel.
Okay. This one is it can harsh your mellow. Each chapter of this has seven chapters, and there's seven people. Would you like to guess what happens with each chapter?
Someone dies.
No, you get to play as someone new.
Oh.
Well, I mean, I guess technically someone could die too, but not in each chapter. So, yeah, first you end up playing as Isabella, and she has been forced into working as a realtor, basically, fixing up houses and trying to get them sold, because her dad is really sick, and her mom, and he was the breadwinner of the family, so she's sending all the money she can, all she can make possible, back to them, so that he can continue to get treatment for whatever the hell ails him, and so she can send her brothers and sisters through school because her mom didn't understand that her vagina isn't a clown car. So that's
fun. You have a way with words, you know that?
I know. I know. And, you know, while she's, you know, doing the last check through before an open house for this rumored haunted house, she finds this letter, a physical letter. I know half of you may not know what that is anymore. being it looks really old, and she's like, this wasn't here before. So she picks it up and she decides to open it and look at it. And all it says is, help me, help me, help me, help me. Just the whole page is just covered in help me, all written in blood. And at the very end, it says, send this to 5 people or else. Dun, dun, dun. And yeah, so it's a chain letter. And I don't even know how to explain that to people who are young, because
like
I haven't seen one of those in over a decade. So
it's like those forwards that your grandma sends you where it's like, make sure to share and post in your feed and like, comment, and subscribe.
Yeah, I guess like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, she freaks out because she starts seeing something that she shouldn't, that tries to kill her. So she freaks out, and she ends up having more than 7 people actually ends up seeing this. Her partner that's working with her on this ends up seeing it. 2 people who were planning on buying the house ends up seeing it, and obviously none of them believe in the stories. Matter of fact, the 2 people trying to buy the house, I don't even know if they know of the stories, but the other realtor that she works with is like, shut up. It's just urban legends. This is stupid. Go home. You obviously are just overly stressed. So you go off to meet with the very few friends you have, because Isabella is actually from the US and this is all set in the UK fucking somewhere. And then all of her friends, the very few of them she has, ends up seeing it because Ash, who I believe is a private detective, is a complete asshole and sees it in her bag, takes it out, and decides to show it to everyone because, I'm a dickhead. So yeah, everyone gets cursed because she didn't get rid of the letter a long time ago and Ash is a dickhead. So yay! Yeah, and, you know, then it's just horror story from there. But it's not just a horror story, and this actually kind of surprised me. Every chapter, as it obviously deals with a different person that you play as, they all have their own personal issues that they're dealing with that heavily impacts that story. Like, for Isabella, again, she's super stressed. She barely knows anyone in England. She's not from there. She, you know, she's worried about her family. She misses her family. She knows everyone is relying on her, and they have no one else that they can rely on for the money that she's bringing in. So she's super stressed, and she's dealing with all these emotions. And in the second chapter, it's about a failing marriage because one of the members is a dickhead. And the other one is like, yeah, most of the guys in this are just, yeah, they're dickheads to varying degrees. And it's, you know, the person wants their partner to be there, wants them to be with them. Doesn't like that they're always off, that they ignore her and so on and so forth, and misses back at the beginning days and is worried that this person's using her for money and so on and so forth. So every chapter ends up dealing with the individual's personal private issues that they don't really tell anyone about as well. And it can really gut punch you, which was very impressive to me. I've thoroughly enjoyed that. So far, I'm right around halfway, maybe a little past halfway through with the game. So I haven't actually finished it, but you can get characters killed. So, yay! Not good. No bueno.
Purposely, or is it part of the story?
You don't have to have them get killed, but you can get them killed by doing dumb things.
Out of curiosity, is there like achievements for like making it with everyone through the game, or like if that's possible?
It is possible to do that, but I don't think there's an achievement for that in the Xbox version of the game. On Steam, there's over 100 fucking achievements for the game.
Oh, jeez.
Because Yeah, it really wants you to go through every possible route, because you can, from what I understand, you can complete the game with only one person surviving, and it can be any one of the seven people. You can survive with multiple of them in a good, happy relationship, multiple of them in an unhappy, bad relationship, have them all survive. There's all sorts of things. And then there's the true ending, which is not a good ending as far as I'm concerned, from what I understand. So there's a lot of different endings in it too, and each one of those has an achievement on Steam, but not in this.
Yeah, it looks like the Xbox achievement list is significantly shorter. There's only 35 of them, and it has an 80% completion rate on true achievements right now.
You get most of the you can get all the achievements in the Xbox version in like 11 minutes if you're somebody. Yeah, if you're somebody like Scotty, you can just set it to where it literally immediately skips every piece of dialogue and you just choose the options. But you know, then you're not really playing the game, just being stupid. It takes significantly longer than that if you actually play it, because there's a lot here. But you only have to play it through one full time and then two partial times to get all the achievements.
Well, the game's sitting at $20. What do you think of the letter?
Oh, I'm so totally for it. It's really well written. It's all voice acted, and the voice actors are all fantastic. It gives off a fairly creepy atmosphere, and again, some of the personal issues that all these people deal with can hit you pretty hard. I thoroughly suggest this to everybody.
It sounds really cool.
Oh yeah, I wanted to review this back when it came out on Steam over a year ago, so I'm glad I managed to get it on here.
Nice. Joe, how much did you say this game is?
$20.
Okay, cool. I'll wishlist it.
Yep. All right, next game is Danger Energy, developed by Sennheiser, published by Zetalon, released January 4th on Xbox One for $5.99. Santermonia is the leading virtual city in the global network. Faust is the new captain of Santermonia's team for integration in real world. And now Santermonia has the chance to get independence from global network that is controlled by main virtual computer. Or main virtual controller. So Captain Faust is drawn into the struggle, and now Santermonia's fate is in his own hands. Will he follow in the footsteps of previous captain and realize his plans? Jacob, I completed this game, and I don't understand what any of that means.
I don't either, because I'm just like, I'm listening to like what you're describing for the plot, and I'm like, I don't think that's how the game even plays out. So you're this guy named Faust who... are they living beings or is it a computer system? Like, it seemed like it wanted to be Tron-esque, but I wasn't too sure, but whatever. Anyways,
yeah, I didn't understand anything story-wise with this game. All I know is that it had cool puzzles in it, and I was the first person on True Achievements to complete this game. Suck it, world.
Yes, Joe is the very first person to complete it, which is impressive because you bought it too.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
I did not have the reviewer's advantage on this one.
So pretty much what it is like each puzzle, you're given a certain amount of connectors or whatever they're called, and you essentially have to place them around the map, and they generate these beams of energy, which will then turn on these other generators, and then you just get all the power, you get all the generators running per puzzle, and then, you know, you move on to the next one. It seems like it's fairly easy. However, the game, like, pretty quickly starts introducing what you can and cannot do. And it tries giving you some dialogue that may or may not be helpful to solving the puzzle, but you have to pay attention because that dialogue will only appear the very first time that you've ever played that puzzle and then never again. So, hope you're listening. and it's not bad. Like, I mean, it feels like this was a PC game ported to Xbox. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's not simple though. It starts off very simple, but it does ramp up the difficulty pretty quick before you even get out of your first sector.
Oh yeah.
I was having some issues with that. And I wish that there was more to the game. Like, even just like a like some hints might have been helpful here and there, but it's not like it's impossible. But you know, it, for a $5 game, I thought it was a pretty engaging puzzle game.
Well, what about for a $6 game?
That's a hard deny then. No, for a $6 game, yeah, it's a pretty engaging puzzle game. There's definitely enough to waste your time for like a good like 4 or 5 hours. You know, and it's, I mean, it's not, the puzzles aren't going to blow anyone away, I don't think. I mean, are they going to be, are they challenging? Yes. But like, I'm talking like from a graphics standpoint, like this is not the most amazing thing you've ever seen. But it gets the job done. I wish that the plot was a little bit more understandable, but whatever. I mean, you're there to play puzzles.
Yeah.
Not there for the plot.
Yeah, and you mentioned it feels like a PC game. There is a Windows 10 version of the game. This is not a Play Anywhere title, so they are separate purchases, separate achievement stacks. I believe separate achievement stacks. I'll have to double check on that one, but $6, your official verdict?
Yeah, I'd recommend it.
Cool.
It's solid.
All right, one more for you is called Gardener's Path, developed by Viridino Studios, published by Rattle Lake Games. Released December 22nd on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $4.99. Gardener's Path is a top-down turd-based puzzle game about fighting giant insects and protecting underground gardens. Jacob, what is Gardener's Path?
I just want to say it sounds like you said turd-based.
Maybe I did.
So with this game, you play as this like little gardener guy who has to help save all of the plants that are underground, and growing in these like underground like greenhouses or whatever. But there's these bugs that invaded, and so you have to go through each level and you have to kill them. But you have to figure out your little path that you're going to take through each one, because it's not like you can just move freely throughout the level. You can only move through straight lines, and so
it's like there's a sliding gonna be a lot block of, puzzle. One of those.
It's kind of like things. Smart. If you remember Smart Moves from Xtillion way back in the day, it's like almost 2 years ago, probably. It kind of plays like that. So you essentially just have to plan out your. Like your path, you know, as the game progresses. Now there is going to be a lot of trial and error with this, but thankfully the game isn't harsh on it. It's just like, okay, just restart. And you just go through it and you just advance to the next part. You know, you face off different, types of bugs and stuff like that. And you just keep moving on through it. It's an enjoyable game. It's very challenging. And it could get frustrating at parts, but honestly, it's a really nice looking game. I love the music to it, by the way. It was very chill, and in my state that I'm in right now, I actually just sometimes just pause the game and just let the music go, because I just needed to chill out for a few minutes.
You were so drugged up, aren't you?
Sometimes, but...
Anything good?
No, not really. Nothing too exciting.
Nah.
Yeah. But anyway, so this game, how much is it?
$5.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, totally. Like, honestly, this was a really solid episode for cheap puzzle games. Both this one and Danger Energy are easily worth the money that Xbox wants for them. So, yeah, highly cool recommend it.
All right, well, we'll let you get going. We have two more reviews to take care of with Aki, but we'll let you go so you can nurse your dick.
No, my balls.
They're the same. My dick's thing.
No.
It's so, really, Joe? It's inverted. Thing? It's inverted.
They're the same thing?
It is inverted. You have an innie.
How does Aki have a better knowledge of male genitalia than you?
Because I've kicked enough people in them, I know what they are.
Yeah, like... Joe, you're terrible. You're older than all of us, and Aki still knows the difference between a dick and a balls. Come on, man.
Kick someone in the dick, it don't hurt that much. If you kick someone in the balls, it hurts a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. All right, Jacob, any final words?
No.
Okay, have fun with your balls. Next game to talk about is In My Shadow, developed by Playbay, published by Overgames, released December 22nd on Xbox One for $11.99. In My Shadow is more than a cleverly designed puzzle platformer. It is a heartwarming story into the mind of a young woman looking for answers to questions in her past. Her childhood memories come to life as shadows on the wall of her house, and you must use those shadows to solve unique puzzles and help Bella try to let go of her past. Aki, tell us about In My Shadow.
Wow. Real question is, do you guys want to rage or do you not want to? If you do, play this game. In this, you play as Bella through different years of her life. Each set of puzzles is based in a different room of her whole old house and then in her current apartment, I guess. And her family has texted her saying, "Hey, we miss you. Come visit sometime." And then she's thinking back of how much of a piece of shit she was all her life. With the first set of levels being how she misses her dog, but she treated her dog like shit and it eventually died. And then treating her brother like shit. But he didn't eventually die. She didn't kill her brother, I promise. Then how she was stealing from her parents and how she treated them like crap. And then eventually she decided to leave home. And all these puzzles are just based in the various rooms in the house. And you shift different boxes and chairs and other crap around and reorientate them in order to create shadows on a wall for the younger version of Bella, who is just a shadow, to climb on and jump around to avoid landing in giant moving spikes or spinning saw blades, which don't exist in the real world but only exist in the shadow. And it is incredibly, incredibly hard game because it starts, you know, you look at it and you're like, oh, this looks like this could be a cute little chill game. It is not a fucking chill game at all, not even remotely. So, yeah, it's, oh, I don't know how many times I screamed and yelled and cussed at this game when I was playing it. There's achievements for beating certain amounts of levels in each room without dying. I got one of those achievements. One of them.
Out of how many?
Five, I think. And currently, the only way to get any of the other ones is to start a brand new game. Apparently, they are working on fixing that. Because I am not starting a new fucking game to try and do that.
Yeah.
No. Because I can just see me not getting it on like the third or fourth fucking area and then have to replay the entire game all over again to get to that area and then to try it again in that area. No. No. Just no. That's not happening. The way it gets harder is it starts adding more of these items there. Originally, you have just a couple of unmoving, you know, spike traps on the ground. That's it. And then eventually get some that move from side to side or up and down. Eventually get some that spin kind of like those fire wheels in Mario do. Eventually then you get the spinning saw blades, and I think there's even a couple levels where those move too. And then eventually they add it to where you have to jump to move along not just one wall, but also another wall. And the perspective doesn't change through it.
Oh, man.
So, yeah.
So there's a lot of work with the shadows in this game.
Yes. And you can't change where things are on the fly either. You have to set up everything. And if, like, for the sections where there's two walls, there's two different light sources. So you're, the same object is sending shadows on two different areas to make it a little harder for you, as far as I'm concerned. But you set them where you want, and then you go into the little, back into the shadow version of Bella, and then you can move around. And anytime you want, you can stop that run, hopefully before you die, and then go and reposition things again. But then you have to start at the very fucking beginning again of that level and hop across all the crap all over again. And you just keep doing that until you have things set in just the right way that you can get through the fucking thing. And I am not that patient.
A lot of trial and error. I play
sniper games. Yeah, I can play stealth and sniper games. I'm good at being patient. I'm good at that. I cannot stand this game. God, I am so bad at it.
Well, it sounds like it's a good game. It's just not for you.
Yeah, no, definitely not for me. It gets really hard at the end. And your character doesn't, like, climb. So sometimes you have to be moving quickly in order to jump on things, because obviously she's not going to grab it and pull herself up. Or you have to make it smaller, which can make it hard to get through the things you need. So it is a little unnecessarily complicated to me to try and get everywhere, just because the game's mechanics and how they need things set in order to get all the stuff, because you have collectibles you have to collect to finish the level, even to get all those, is sometimes it's really difficult because you have to set things at a certain height, but it's hard to get up there properly. And it's just there's lots of little tiny irritations like that throughout the entire game.
Yeah. Well, it's only $12. What do you think of it?
I personally say no, unless you like rage-inducing games, because this thing will piss you off eventually. Unequivocally, it will piss you off. If you like things that upset you, go for it. Because it is, the graphics are kind of cute, and the little story segments are cute, but
the expect rage.
Yeah, very much.
Well, I'm going to wish list it. It looks cute. If it comes down in price a little bit, I'll probably jump on it and give it a go. But one final game to talk about tonight is called Forgotten Hill Disillusion, developed by FM Studio, published by Rattle Lake Games, released December 17th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, and PS5 for $4.99. Welcome to Forgotten Hill Museum, a place where the past, present, nature, art, and the unknown are exhibited. Do you want to have the best experience of this visit? If so, take some advice. Never believe your eyes. Aki, what is this game?
Well, the first thing to keep in mind is this is the fourth game in a series of games. So, yeah, I don't know the overarching story to this, but at the start of this, your character, who I don't know the name of, I think it says it once in the entire game and then never again, he has just escaped a mental hospital, I think, and has decided to come and research something at the library, even though this isn't a library. It's a museum, and it barely has any books in it. Makes a lot of sense, totally. and he goes in there, and then the story just makes even less sense. The story in this just doesn't make any sense to me, and it may be because I haven't played all the other ones, but it's just gibberish to me. You start in this little tiny library section, and then you continue on through all the other areas. It's a point and click puzzle game, so you have to go find items to solve little puzzles in order to move further on, or to get another item that you have to use in another puzzle, and to get an item that you get in another puzzle so that you can finally get on to the next area, so on and so forth. But you eventually go through the museum, and then you go into this alternate reality realm, basically, where in the normal area everything looks good and fine, and that was my phone. Sorry about that. that was probably a text message that scared me. Oh, that's good. Okay. So, the normal area you walk in, it's not the prettiest place, but it's not an Amber Alert. But it looks normal-ish. It's not pretty, but it looks normal. And then you go into this alternate reality with this pocket watch that you got from I don't fucking know where. And something you must have gotten in one of the prior chapters. And then it brings you into this alternate reality where everything is horrible, where there are literal monsters, where there are decapitated people, where there are children that are being used as test subjects, that are being tortured, that are all chained up and stuff, and there's monsters all about. And then you solve puzzles there to send some of these monsters back to hell, and I don't know how any of this is related
fucking to
the fact that you went into a museum in order to search a library to figure out more about this place, which you never do. I don't know how any of it connects to each other. It doesn't make any sense in that content.
Seems weird that they would bring the fourth game, but none of the others. Also weird is the fact that Lloyd Berry just subbed for his fourth month. Thank you so much, Lloyd. Always love having you hang out and chat. And
thank you. I am so sorry that you chose to spend your money on this.
Yeah.
You poor schmuck.
Yeah. Well, it was a Prime subscription, so.
Ah, so you're not losing anything.
Yeah.
Smart choice. Smart choice.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
Like, yeah. The game, it plays really well. nothing is too particularly complicated to figure out. Some of it does take a little bit of doing, but usually when you see little clues, you may not know what they go to because it might be for a room, you know, another four sections down or something. But it's usually very obvious that, oh, that's a clue to something. Let me take a picture on my phone of this so I don't have to come fucking back here. And eventually I'll see something that looks kind of like this and I'll know how to solve it. I took a lot of pictures.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Well, the game's sitting at $5. It seems like a no-brainer. What are your thoughts on this one?
I'm totally for it. Whilst the story makes absolutely no fucking sense, it plays really well. And graphically, it's a decent-looking game. Especially the alternate world, I really like the graphical style of it. It fits very well. So yeah, if you don't mind not knowing what the fuck is going on, go for it. It's a decent game. I just really wish I understood what the hell is going on.
Yeah, hopefully it does well and Rad Lake decides to bring the other games in the series over. Just lump them in one package and release it to the world. There you go. A 3-in-1 game.
Yeah, and I'd be willing to play it for review.
Yay!
Hopefully I'll understand what the fuck happened in this game. I really want to understand it because it sounds like it has an interesting story, but it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, well, that is it for this episode. Made it through another one. Thanks to you for being here, hanging out, keeping me company. Thanks to Jacob's balls for getting chopped off and not hanging around anymore.
I think the problem is they're still hanging around. I think he should have just had them removed and put in his wife's purse, and then they wouldn't hurt him anymore. After all, they're effectively already there.
Yeah. Well, to end the show, we're going to do something special. I didn't get to have the panel with Norg's intro, so I'm just going to play Norg's MAGFest intro right after this, and then we'll play some music and that'll be it for this episode. Aki, do you have any final words to end it?
Jacob, the ballest boy wonder.
Hey, assholes. Welcome to Omicron. I mean, MAGFest. This is the SML Podcast live panel. Who's ready to have a good time? I can't hear you. I said, who's ready to have a good time? I still can't hear you. This is pre-recorded. Ass. Also, you, in the back. Who let you in? Fuck you. We'd like to take a moment to thank the roughly three of you who showed up today. You and you are kind. But not you. Fuck you. May your fold increase, your fountains be potable, and your sperm count suffer not the ravages of age. Addressing the elephant in the room, the word Omicron hasn't been said this much since an actual good Star Trek series was still on the air. Since you're around about 20,000 other people sequestered in a hotel during a pandemic, may as well go lick some fucking doorknobs. You're going home with a gift, and it's not a toaster. Make sure to give Joe Cam a nice fist, elbow, or ass cheek bump after the panel is over. Dude works hard for you and loves each and every one of you. Except still not you. Seriously, fuck you. Make sure to have some pancakes after the show. You know you love them, and you love them wet.
excuse me. I believe you have my stapler.